there is a silver lining in this, and for us, especially coaches, that, you know, I've literally gone weeks where the only time I see my kids awake is Saturday after the game, and then the next Saturday after the game, you know, wow. Because we're leaving the house at 6 a.m. when they're still asleep, and we're getting home at 10:30 at night when they're already in bed. And so the massive amounts of games of Uno and Monopoly and cornhole, and it's actually, you know, I think we're going on 9 straight nights of sitting down as a family, all 5 of us, eating dinner, and the kids actually getting along. I mean, it's been something that, you know, us coaches, we'll never be able to get this time back, so we're cherishing it as much as possible. But to answer your question, Ian, Sam Ellinger's a different dude, man. I mean, he is, I use the phrase all the time, but no more so does it apply than with him. He's marry your daughter kind of material. I mean, I would have been surprised had he not done something like this, just because of the guy that I know, you know, it's just remarkable. He is always, in my years of knowing him, he has always used his fame to help others, and his platform and his voice and his influence to help others, and not be self-serving. And it's been such a prideful time for me to see him and the things that he's doing. And I do appreciate you mentioning, you know, what Michelle and myself and my family are doing. You know, the Boys and Girls Club is near and dear to my heart. I was a club kid growing up, and you know, they need help in the worst way, because, you know, they are used to be there when school wasn't, you know, for their the families that they served, and now that's pretty difficult. But they're also you know, helping you know, first responders, I guess is the right term, but, you know, medical workers, police, firemen, you know, even grocery store workers. They're getting, you know, 9 kid pods, and they're able to provide daycare for those kids. And then the homeless shelter in Front Steps here in Austin is one that's near and dear to my heart, knowing that, you know, my father died in a homeless shelter when he was 52 years old, and we tried for years to help him. And you know, it's important for us to try to do what we can, and maybe we can save somebody else's dad.
Wow. Great stuff by Tom Herman, the University of Texas football coach, with Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. You've also been a big, big person starting the University of Texas Student Emergency Fund. How did that get started, Coach?
Well, our president, I guess now former president, since he has decided to move on to Emory University, and I can't thank him enough for his service here and for bringing me home. You know, he was the one that hired me here at the University of Texas, and we're really excited for his replacement, and Jay Hartzell. And but President Fenves started this fund, and I as soon as we caught wind of it, you know, I looked at Michelle and I said, you know, we're going to donate money to the homeless, to victims of domestic violence, to Meals on Wheels, to the food bank and Boys and Girls Club. We can't not help our own students, you know, and so it right. was just, it seemed very logical and a given, like, yeah, we're going to do it for them as well, because we wouldn't be in the business or profession that we're in without the student support.
Texas Longhorns football coach Tom Herman here with us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio with Freddie Coleman. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. And, you know, Coach, for me, football seems just so, I don't want to say insignificant, because it's not, but it just seems, you know, so much on the back burner. I mean, you're recruiting right now. You're trying to plan for, if you can crank it up July 1, if it's August 1, if it's September 1, there's so many different things that you're having to try and manage right now as a coach. How are you dealing with all of the unknown when it comes to not just your sport, but the world we're living in right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we had a call today with my Zoom call or meeting, whatever you want to call it. But I'm sitting in my flip-flops and T-shirt while I was doing it. So I guess it was a meeting. But with my chief of staff, Fernando Lobo, my head strength coach, Yancey McKnight, and then our athletic director, Chris Delcani, and the Big 12 has sent out to us, you know, kind of some different proposals and contingency plans or models, whatever you want to call it. And so Chris and I just kind of bantered around, you know, what would be our most favorable, what would be the, you know, kind of worst case scenario, this, that, and the other. So we're taking steps to plan, but as you guys know, it's very difficult to plan in these times because circumstances seem like they're changing hourly, not just daily, but hourly. And so that's difficult. But our team is in a routine. You know, we staff meet twice a week. From a full staff standpoint, the offense and defensive staffs, they meet to talk football and projects and recruiting three times a week. We meet with our players positionally three times a week, as well as we have one special teams meeting a week, and then we've got one full staff meeting devoted to recruiting. So usually my mornings from 7 or 8 to about noon is tied up, and then the afternoons are kind of reserved for doing stuff like this with you guys, as well as recruiting calls. And then, you know, and then about 5 or 6, it's throw steak on the grill and let's have family dinner, and when we're done with dinner, let's get the Uno cards out and play some Uno. So the routine has been good for our players. You know, we had them fill out a schedule from wake up to going to bed every day, Monday through Friday, which includes, you know, lifting, running, meetings, tutoring, classes. Some, you know, at Texas, some of our guys have classes that they literally have to, you know, log into Zoom or whatever app and actually watch a live lecture. Some are, as they're calling, on demand, where it's maybe a lecture or an assignment that you do at your own pace, and an assignment is due, you know, at the end of the week. So our hats off to our academic staff. They've done a great job planning around all this craziness and getting guys on track. And, you know, our guys are finding a way to stay in shape and stay engaged.
I saw early this week you had a virtual chat where you were taking questions on orangebloods.com. And I know these are trying times, but it seemed like you were having a ball doing something like that, Coach Herman. How much of that is sort of easing your mind with all this going on and all that you and your family have to deal with?
You know, you're right, Freddie. I that was so much fun for me. I didn't want it to end, and unfortunately, yeah, the battery on my laptop died to end things. But it was great. You know, our fans, you know, along with the students, our fans are what make us. And, you know, I felt so removed from everybody, from our team, from our fans, from the guys that I work with every day, that I had an idea, and I reached out to one of the reporters. Not that this is going to be a regular thing the message board conspiracy theorists where we pander to them, but it just was a way for me to reach out to the fans, and you know, really, I was hoping, you know, I got asked some hard questions because I wanted to educate our fans in a very informal setting on what, you know, our strategies and philosophies are. And it was great. Anwar Richardson did a phenomenal job in hosting that and providing, you know, not all softball questions, you know, and really allowing me to show our fans, you know, a different side of me. I've always, you know, I've read some different comments. Well, this is the new Coach Herman. No, this, I've been the same dude for going on 45 years. Just people are maybe seeing a little bit more of it through these times.
That's, you're always looking to find positives and negatives without a question. And before we turn you loose, Coach, I'm curious to get your thoughts on something your former boss and Gene Smith, AD at Ohio State, said today. And that is, if it's not safe for fans to go to a ball game, because we're hearing that constant conversation, we may have games without fans. His point is, well, if it's not safe for the fans, how is it safe for the players? Your thoughts.
Yeah, I didn't hear Gene comments or read them, but I do respect the heck out of him and appreciate my time with him. I don't know. I do think, you know, economically, you know, it's going to be difficult to sustain anything without a season. And, you know, the NFL is different. The NFL gets roughly, you know, close to 80% of their money from TV, where college football, we get most of our money from the gate and from concessions and from all of that. So, you know, that's a difficult proposition to play without fans. I know economically that is, but again, that's, I wouldn't be opposed to it if that's what you're asking me. I think any opportunity we can get out there and play. And that's obviously if we have, you asked about the players versus the fans. I think when you have a small, much smaller group, you know, you're talking about, you know, we've talked about, you know, with 105 players and support staff and trainers and coaches and, all of that, you know, roughly 250 players or people per program. And if you had regular testing, for them, on both sides, you know, you and the opponent, I think that could be doable. You know, you're not going to, test, 101,000 fans, right? So,
right.
I think it is a little bit different when you talk in terms of players and coaches versus 100,000 fans, because I do think that, you know, the testing is, more realistic for that smaller of a group. So we'll see where it goes. I don't think it's off. I don't think anything's off the table at this point. You know, I think everything's on the table, from a delayed season to a conference game only season to a, you know, start in February or March season. You know, I think it's all things that we're talking about right now, because, we know economically that, you know, that there's so many departments that are dependent on the revenue generated by football, that this would be, without a season, it would be something that a lot of departments would never be able to get back out, you know, in front of it.